Yeah. So
I think this is on.
We're excited to be here, everybody.
Awesome. So I'm Luke.
And I'm Isaac.
So just like Adam said, I'm a senior in high school, and I've been at this church my whole entire life, except for a quick little stint in England.
And same goes for me, except for a little bit spent in Costa Rica.
Same thing. So I'm a senior at Heritage Christian, and this fall I'm going to Mizzou to study engineering.
And I'm also a senior, but I go to Parkway South High School, and I will, yep, go Patriots. And I will also be going to Mizzou, but I'll be studying biology. And me and Luke both help at the Summit Student Leadership Team here.
And yeah, so quick plug, if you are a high school student in the room, we meet for youth group every single Sunday night, 6 p.m. It's out in a room called the Activity Center outside these doors. If you're a high school student, we have a movie night tonight, 6 p.m. Be there, okay?
Be there.
Okay, so now I kind of have to point something out, Isaac.
What?
What are you wearing?
Huh? I thought it was perfect. Like, Luke, you told me I needed to stand out. So, you know, I looked in my closet and all my clothes were dirty, so I didn't have anything good. And then I saw this in my closet and I was like, wait a minute, that's perfect. All the Casey Camp kids will be here, which, speaking of, you should go this year. Who's excited? But I thought it was perfect. Am I not standing out enough?
Well, you're standing out, but I told you to stand out for God. Everyone is wearing these same purple t-shirts. This is not the standing out I had in mind.
But you can't deny that I'm not. I'm standing out, man.
You are.
Yeah.
Just go change.
Fine. I am unappreciated in my time.
Okay, so today we're talking somewhat about what Isaac is doing here, which is standing out, but we're going to talk about it in a little different context. We're going to talk about being different for the Lord. We're in a series called On Mission, right? So we're going to go through what it looks like to be on mission by being different and standing out for the Lord, and how that can provoke questions in non-believers. Next, we'll look at how we can live differently in suffering, and how that can also reflect the Lord. And then finally, we need to be willing and ready to defend our faith, and that is called apologetics. So a little background for our passage. We're gonna be in 1 Peter 3, if you guys wanna go ahead and turn there. But first, some context for this passage. Oh, he's back, hi Isaac. So context for this passage. Peter in 1 Peter is writing to the Jews of the diaspora, which means dispersed or out of their home country. So the Jews felt like they needed to leave Roman rule after they were getting persecuted. And the key thing to note here is that they were living in foreign countries and they were very much looking different and standing out. So a little intro from Peter himself. 1 Peter 1:1 says, "This letter is from Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. I'm writing to God's chosen people who are living as foreigners in provinces of Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, and Bithynia." So Peter is specifically writing to those Jews who are part of the diaspora and who live as foreigners. They're standing out as foreigners in other countries. Actually, this past week, I was in Italy, and I was standing out quite a bit. So I got asked a lot of times how tall I was, which is, that's normal, right? That's normal. And I'm 6'8". So the problem is they have no idea what that means. I had to learn my height in meters, which was about like 2.3 or 2.03 meters, if you were wondering.
How many meters do you think I am?
Like max of one, I think. But trust me, being in a foreign place, these Jews were standing out. I actually want to jump into the Old Testament real fast, and we're going to look at how Joseph stood out and did what was right in Egypt. So Joseph was in Egypt. Obviously, it was a land completely foreign to him, and he was clearly different. First, in Potiphar's house, he stood out so much that quickly Joseph became put in charge of the household. So Genesis 39:2-3 talks about, saying, "The Lord was with Joseph, so he succeeded in everything he did as he served in the house of his Egyptian master." Potiphar noticed this and realized that the Lord was with Joseph, giving him success in everything he did. This verse actually kind of sums up what we're going to talk about. Joseph was different because the Lord was with him. And people notice, he stood out. The verse specifically said that Potiphar noticed that the Lord was with Joseph. And then later in the story, Joseph also stood out in front of Pharaoh, the leader of Egypt, whenever he interpreted the Pharaoh's dreams. He was put in second in command of a country that is completely foreign to him, and he was put in charge of collecting food for a famine. So we need to stand out like Joseph did. Now, Isaac, what did you actually end up choosing for our key verse today?
Oh, yeah. If you'd like to follow along, it'll be up on the screen, or if you'd follow along in your own Bibles, we'll be looking at 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 15 as our key verse for the day. And Peter writes, "Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." In today's day and age, it's really easy to slip into the flow, but it's a lot harder to go against it. This is why we as Christians need to stand out, or rather, we need to look different. Apparently not in a cat costume way, though. But what does it mean to look different, and why is it important? Looking different is about living a godly life so that you will spark conversation with others. Let me repeat that. Living a godly life so that we may spark conversation with others.
So, Jesus, when he was on this earth, he obviously changed a lot, right? One of those things is humility. So the interesting thing is Romans actually looked down on being humble or meek and actually considered those things insults. And Jesus came, he completely flipped the Roman idea on its head. So he showed us how important it is to be humble. We need to be different by showing humility. These next verses say we should have no pride, but it also talks about different ways we are different. To get an idea of what it truly looks like to be different, we're going to be in verses 8 and 9, 1 Peter 3. "Last of all, you must share the same thoughts and the same feelings. Love each other with a kind heart and with a mind that has no pride. When someone does something bad to you, do not do the same thing to him. When someone talks about you, do not talk about him. Instead, pray that good will come to you, to him." Sorry. So, as Christians, we are called to love our neighbors as ourselves. This verse takes it a step further. It calls us to love with a kind heart, but also with a mind that has no pride. It goes on to mention the avoidance of an eye for an eye mentality and replace that with intentional prayer for anyone who wronged you so that good may come to them.
Mm-hmm. But yeah, to help us move along, I'm going to be going on into verses 10 through 12, which Peter writes, "For the scriptures say, if you want to enjoy life and see many happy days, keep your tongue from speaking evil and your lips from telling lies. Turn away from evil and do good. Search for peace and work to maintain it. The eyes of the Lord watch over those who do right, and his ears are open to their prayers. But the Lord turns his face against those who do evil." Let me say that again. Search for peace and work to maintain it. This is something that won't always be easy in life, but this is something we are commanded to do. It says search for peace, not maybe search for peace, not could you please search for peace, not just if you have the time, could you search for peace and work to maintain it? You know, it's okay, but search for peace and work to maintain it. And a way that helps this is by being humble, which in verse 8, which Luke just read, talks us about avoiding pride. But I think we should define that first. Pride only cares about me being right, while humility cares about what God says is right. We need to focus less on ourselves and more on loving each other. That's just one way that we can look different, through being humble. And, you know, I got a story for you guys. Are we excited for stories? I always like stories. But, you know, the most humble guy that I've seen in my lifetime, at least, is a guy named Benji. So, real quick, I want to tell you guys just quick little snappy thing that you can remember pretty easy. I want you to be a Benji, not a Bart. You're confused. This is understandable. Well, my freshman and sophomore year, I played soccer for the Parkway South Patriots. Go team. And soccer is all about the team. But my freshman year, our goalie, we will call him Bartholomew Bart for short because that's simpler, he was not about the team. He was not a team player. He was always yelling at teammates if you missed a shot or a pass. He was yelling at refs. He almost got kicked out of many a game, and he got kicked out of several. Bart is the reason why several guys I know and care about left the team. He was destroying the team. But sophomore year, we had a glimmer of hope. And that glimmer of hope was my guy Benji, who Benji stood out. He was about, I don't know, like 0.1 meters shorter than Luke.
Okay.
Something like that. He was a foreign exchange student from Nigeria, so, you know, looked different than that, right? But most of all, Benji was a really humble guy. Because he was a foreign exchange student, he wasn't allowed to play for varsity, even though he definitely deserved it. In the first practice match he had on our JV team, Benji played in goal, and he didn't let in a single goal, and he scored one. Let me repeat that. While being a goalie, he didn't let in a goal, and he managed to score one. How? So Benji was good, and our coach made sure he got where he was supposed to be. He talked to whoever he needed to, and Benji was able to play for varsity. And he ended up being one of the best goalies in our state that year. Go Benji. But the thing is, he never talked about himself. Benji, after every game, it was always about what you did, what this guy did, your teammates. He said, you made a great pass. He made a great shot. He made a great save. It was never about what Benji did. It was about what the team did. And that's the thing. Benji, unlike Bart, kept his peace, and he did it by being humble. So that's why I'm going to tell you all, be a Benji, not a Bart.
Hey, so the second point we're going to talk about is being different in suffering. Okay, so when do we mainly suffer? Me personally, I would say it's mostly whenever I cause it in my own life. A big example of that is procrastination, which keeps coming back up over and over in my life. You'd think I'd learn. An example of this is last semester. I had like 10 pages due in a paper, and I left probably half of that for the last day during finals week. And obviously that caused me a ton of stress and suffering that I caused on my own. But also, a lot of times we're gonna suffer whenever we're actually doing what is right. But it's important how we respond and how we can look different. That's what actually matters. So let's just jump into the next couple of verses, verse 13 and 14. They talk about suffering that might come from others wanting to harm you. So 13, now who will want to harm you if you're eager to do good? But even if you suffer for doing what is right, God will reward you for it. So don't worry or be afraid of their threats. Peter points out in verse 13 that if you're doing what is right, you probably won't suffer much. I mean, who wants to really persecute a good person? But that doesn't mean you won't have struggles if you're eager to do good. Verse 14 says that you could be doing what is right, but still suffer. Honestly, I think the biggest example of this is when we're being open about our faith, but then we're insulted for it and dragged down. When you're being insulted for your faith, because I think it is going to happen to most of us, that's one of the biggest places you can actually look different. So it's normalized to just throw insults back at whoever's insulting you and get angry at them. But it's how we respond that's important. In these kind of situations, it's kind of normal to get mad and verbally attack someone. So that is where we need to stay different. We need to treat everybody with love. And guess what? Verse 14 actually says that God will reward you for that. But Isaac, how do we even respond to suffering?
Well, you know, just to help us come up with ways for that, I came up with a few questions that should help us remember that. And first off, do you suffer differently? Do you suffer in a way that shows humility? in a way that shows love, in a way that doesn't ignore the pain you are feeling, but instead shows hope in it. If you don't, you're not alone. Suffering doesn't just come from insults, ridicule from others, doesn't just come from ourselves, like with Luke and his procrastinated paper. And things are gonna blindside you. You're gonna get hit by a curveball from life, and it's gonna hurt. But obviously, I personally am perfect for this. Just kidding, I'm totally not. I'm so bad at this myself. I am a complainer. I whine a lot. Just ask those few people right there. And whenever something's going wrong, I whine, and it is not pleasant to be around me. Complaining does not make people think, oh, look, he's so different. We should be just like that. No. It's gonna push people away. You won't be approachable if you're complaining all the time. It doesn't help us stand out. It doesn't look different from the rest of the world. Instead of that, we need to look different in our suffering so that we may provoke questions in others. One way in which we can do this is looking different by showing the fruits of the Spirit, which, if you'll follow along in your Bibles, are up on the screen. Galatians 5, 22 to 23, Paul writes, "But the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in our lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against these things." And now, worship team, everybody else in there, what is the fruit of the Spirit not?
Coconut.
Thank you very much. But what does this mean in the context of suffering? We shouldn't let desire to complain draw us away from what's important. We need to show these fruits of the Spirit that the Holy Spirit produces in us, in good times and in suffering. Suffer, but still be kind. Suffer, but still show love. Suffer, but maintain self-control.
So now we're going to talk about being different in the way that we share and respond whenever those questions and arguments about our faith do come up. So we're going to reread our key verse, which is verse 15, because we're going to pull out a few points about apologetics. So here's 1 Peter 3:15 again. "Instead, you must worship Christ as Lord of your life. And if someone asks you about your hope as a believer, always be ready to explain it." First, I need to point out that if you're being different and if you're worshiping Christ as the Lord of your life, questions are going to come up. So this idea of always being ready to explain and defend your faith, that's called apologetics. So it comes from the Greek word apologia. That means speaking in defense. Now, most of you, if you've heard of apologetics, you're probably thinking of long, complicated arguments for faith, which, don't get me wrong, I believe those are very important to study. But I think that every Christian should have a basic response for their faith. This could be as simple as being able to explain how you came to Christianity. It could also be as simple as just knowing the gospel. So can you give a story about your faith? We need to have an elevator pitch, a 2 to 5 minute story about why we are Christians and what led us to it. And not only that, we need to be willing and ready to present our story without fear, which is kind of the hardest part, because some of you could tell me your story, you could tell me the gospel, but we need to remember that we need to do it without fear. Are you going to be able to do this without fear with your neighbors, with your classmates, with your coworkers? Another point that Peter brings up is we need to do this in gentleness and respect. He says this in verse 16, "But do this in a gentle and respectful way. Keep your conscience clear. Then if people speak against you, they will be ashamed when they see what a good life you live because you belong to Christ." Look, probably the easiest way to turn people away from pretty much anything in life is to try and force feed it to them. People aren't gonna wanna listen to you if you say, "I'm right, you better believe me." No, that's just not how we should do things. We need to follow what Peter says and be gentle as we present the why behind our beliefs. And honestly, if you do things with gentleness and respect, I believe that actually gives you more credibility for your argument. So let's be different by being ready to give a defense for our faith, by presenting those defenses with gentleness and respect. So last year, I was on a travel basketball team, and something about religion came up. It wasn't a direct question to me, but just something came up about religion. And I was actually not ready with my story. Whenever it came up, I let fear control me, and I didn't share my faith. And I still look back on this moment with regret, and I take this as a lesson, though, and I hope you will as well, that you won't end up in this position of regret. I hope that you will take this advice and do not have this situation that you regret. So have that 2 to 5 minute elevator pitch ready about your faith and be ready without fear to share it. So I'll ask you this, will you guys be ready? Ready to give a defense for your and reasons for your faith? I was not when it came up with my teammates. I was not ready. Will you guys be now?
All right, everybody, we're in the home stretch now, just a little bit more. So I'm gonna take a page out of Tex's book and I'm gonna ask y'all to lean in. So main question for the whole day is really, why should we be different? Well, there's a simple answer to this. It's because Jesus was. In verse 18, Peter writes, "Christ suffered for our sins once for all time. He never sinned, but he died for sinners to bring you safely home to God. He suffered physical death, but he was raised to life in the spirit." Everybody, Jesus was the most different. He was the most different. In one singular act, his death on the cross and later resurrection, Jesus looked the most different in the way he showed humility. He was the most different in the way he suffered. And he was the most different in the way that he shared the hope that is him. So why should we be different? We're different because Jesus was. He's our baseline. He is the baseline. And if he's not your baseline, well, there are a lot of people in this room who'd be happy to talk to you about it. Our pastors, prayer team will be up front in the end. People on your left and right, they'll be happy to talk to you about this. Because we are following Jesus's example here. To be humble, to show the fruits of the Spirit in our suffering, and to be ready and willing to share the hope and the good news that God and Jesus present us. Because Jesus was and is the most different.
So for those of us who do have Jesus as that baseline, we've touched on a few ways to be different, but how can we apply these to our lives? We need to look different, so questions will be brought up, and we need to be ready to answer those questions with gentleness, with humility, with respect. So I think the most important factor in looking different is to be ready and approachable to have that good conversation. I'll say that again. Be approachable and ready to have that conversation. Okay, so this is awesome, but how do we know we're actually doing this? I have a list of 3 questions for you to kind of self-evaluate if you are ready for these conversations. So 1, are you approachable? Are you approachable? So can people come up and talk to you? Being closed off is pretty easy in a secular space, whether that be your job or school. We need to be approachable. So 2, is your story ready? Are you ready to share that story? Do you have that elevator pitch? 2 to 5 minutes, ready to share whenever asked. Now 3, have you decided how you'll respond when you're insulted for being different? Deciding now is important. We need to decide how to respond. We need to respond with love and prayer for the person who has wronged you. Look, if we're different, questions are gonna come up. We need to be ready to share. I'm not saying that's easy, so a few closing thoughts. Be different and approachable so people will ask you questions. And remember the 3 questions I just went over. Are you approachable? Is your story ready? And have you decided how you'll respond whenever you are insulted for being different? And now to close, going back to what Isaac talked about, Jesus is the reason that we are different. And it's important to know that. He's the reason that me and Isaac are up here right now. He's the reason that me and all of my brothers and sisters in Christ here will spend eternity in heaven and the new earth because of Christ's resurrection. So if you want to know about this Jesus guy, please ask someone. Like Isaac said, there'll be a prayer team up here after the service. I guarantee you, most of the people in this room would be so excited to talk to someone about the hope that is in them. So please ask someone. If this Jesus interests you, if Jesus and his death and resurrection is something that you're like, wow, that seems amazing, please ask someone, okay? So, and for those of you who do know Jesus, you have those friends that do not know Jesus. Be different and be ready to share with them, okay? So let's be different for Jesus. And as the band comes out, both me and Isaac are gonna close us in prayer. So let's pray. God, you've called us to be different in humility. You've called us to be different in suffering. We thank you for that. And we also ask that you help us be different for you. And I pray that those questions about faith do come up on our daily lives, that non-believers will ask and that we will have an answer. So thank you so much for this church. Thank you for this Student Sunday and all the leadership that went into this and all the behind the scenes things. And thank you for everyone who poured into this week.
Lord, I just pray that you help everyone here be ready and willing to share. That we all remember that Jesus is our baseline. Lord, thank you for Jesus, for him being the most different so that we can follow him, Lord. God, just help us to remember Luke's three questions. Are we approachable? Do we have our story ready? And do we know how we will respond in suffering? In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.